Set the recorder. Okay, so we will be continuing with our presentation on the calendar. Today will be a summary of what we've been talking about before, and might just be my last presentation on this for a while, and I believe Brother Richard will share something about the calendar next Sabbath. So let's look at some things we've talked about before regarding the calendar. Okay, so we saw, so let's what we looked at some months. We were able to find in clear biblical information on the first month, the second month, and a combination of biblical and historical information on the fifth month and the 12th month. Again, we were able to find complete information, complete biblical information on the first month and the second month. And we found biblical, partial biblical, and complementary or supplementary historical information on the fifth month, or which is called the month of Av, and the 12th month, which is called Adar. So here's what we found. We saw that the first month starts on the fourth day of the first week of creation. This is certainly so, as the book of Genesis shows that Elohim created and placed the luminaries, that is, sun, moon, and stars, in the expanse or firmament over the earth on the fourth day of the week, to be lights, to be for days, seasons, years, and signs. He appointed them for that purpose on the fourth day. Prior to that, that did not exist. That came into existence on the fourth day. So that was the beginning of the year, the beginning of the seasons and signs. And we see that based on facts in Genesis 1. Verses 6 through 8 that shows us that he placed a firmament or an expanse over the earth on the second day. So this expanse, as we point out, is very important that we understand this. And my brother Felix pointed this out a lot, that this expanse is not the Shamayim, is not the heavens that is spoken of in verse 1. Verse 1 speaks of he created the heavens and the earth. The expanse spoken here is not the heavens, but it's actually a covering or a dome-like structure that he placed over the earth. And he did that on the second day. So we know it can't be the heavens of heavens where he and where Elohim and the angels are. This is the dome over the earth, which is very, very high. We don't know how high it is, but it's very high. And this dome over the earth was placed over the earth on the second day of creation. Then verse 14, 16, 17 through 19 tells us that Elohim put the sun, the moon, and stars in that expanse that was made on the second day. But he put those luminaries there on the fourth day of the week. And he said they should be for signs, seasons, days, and years. So that's how you know for sure that the first year started on the fourth day of the week. As such, as it started on the fourth day of the week, if we count 30 days from the fourth day of the week, the last day, which is that 30th day, would fall on the fifth day of the week. If you don't have the picture, calendar PDF in front of you, please make sure you have it all throughout these calendar discussions, because it's important so that you can follow along. So you can see that the first day where the luminaries were placed for signs and seasons and years was on the fourth day, and the last day, the 30th day, was on the fifth day of the week, or a Thursday. So that's what we saw about the first month. Now, the second month, as I've mentioned, we also have solid biblical evidence. And it's even, in a way, more solid than this. But we can conclude that, hey, if the first month ended on a Thursday or fifth day of the week, then the second month must begin on what day? Of course, should begin on a Friday, right? Or it should begin on the sixth day of the week. And of course, when we look through the biblical records that are there, that's exactly what we saw. Let's see. Yeah, so since the first month ended on the fifth day of the week, then the first day of the second month should begin on the sixth day of the week. The account in Exodus chapter 16 of events happening on the second month proves that. Okay, and this is the second year after the Exodus, second year after they left Egypt. On the second month of the second year, there we saw that the Israelites camped between a place called Elim and Sinai. They were right in between these two places, Elim and Sinai. And they were there on the 15th day of the second month. Next, they were told, and we know the scenario, I won't go through much through there, how they were complaining about not having any food. So they were told, the Israelites were told through Moses, as Elohim instructed him, that at evening of the 15th, they were to know they were to know that it was Elohim who brought them out of the land of Egypt, right? And let's think a little bit. Remember Passover? Passover was on the first month. That was the original Passover. But if you missed Passover on the second month of the 14th day, you were to observe Passover. And on the 15th day, which is the day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Israelites came out of Egypt, and they were to commemorate that on the 15th of the month. Is it any surprise that Elohim on the second year and second month told them on the 15th at evening, you will know that it is the Eternal, it was Elohim who brought you out of the land of Egypt? That is because they have obviously forgotten that, or not, they weren't considering it. So they were being reminded of that. So that's why on the 15th day, he told them, this evening, you're going to know that it was Elohim who took you out of the land of Egypt. Why? Because it was at the evening of the 15th that they were taken out of Egypt. Right? So what happens next? So he tells them, on the 15th, you will learn that. And on the morrow, you will see the glory of Elohim. So if the evening of the 15th was that prior evening was the 15th, then the morning was when? The morning was the 16th. And on the 16th day, as Aaron went out to tell them all about that Moses told him, all of a sudden, they turned around and saw the glory of Elohim in the morning of the 16th day, just as he said. Because he had told them, again, in the evening, you will see the glory of Elohim on the 15th. And in the morning, you would see, let me rephrase, I always confuse that in the evening on of the 15th, they would know that that Elohim was the one who took them out of the land of Egypt, and that in the morning, the morrow, the next day, that would be the 16th, they would see his glory. And that is exactly what happened, that in the morning, as Aaron began to speak to them, the morning of the 16th of the month, of the second month, the glory of Elohim appeared. And this is where the information gets very interesting and clear. Because there on the 16th in the morning, Elohim told them that this evening you will receive meat. And we know, as we read through, it was the quails. And that in the morning, now mind you, that's the evening of the 16th. So in the morning now, it's the 17th. What did he say would happen on the 17th of the morning? You would receive the manna. And they were to gather the manna from that point on, from the 17th, for 6 days. Right? From the 17th of the month. Look at your calendar of the second month. That the 17th, you would count for 6 days. So the sixth day from the 17th was the 22nd of the month. And we know that he said after the sixth day is the Sabbath day. So the Sabbath day was on the 23rd of the month. And we know that the seventh day, the Sabbath day, is on what day of the week? It's on the seventh day of the week. When we look at our calendar, we notice the numbers, the dates, and days match. All we need to do is count downwards. That means we're counting from 23 all the way up to 1 backwards. So 23, 22, and so on. 17, 16, 15, 9, 3, 2, 1. And we'll see that the first day of the second month perfectly falls on the sixth day of the week. Meaning it fits perfectly. It falls perfectly behind the first month. These show you without a doubt that that is how, that those are the day and date relationships as set by Elohim in his calendar. Okay, so that's what we saw, and we pointed out that we did not, that I personally have not found, yet found, I'm not saying it's not there, but I haven't found clear enough information to construct the third or fourth months directly. And I use the word directly. We have overall enough information to complete the calendar. And that's why I sent you a complete calendar. But we don't have direct information. Well, I shouldn't say we don't have. I have not seen in the scriptures direct information for months 3 and 4. However, we do have a combination of reliable information for the fifth month, or the month of Av. As I've mentioned, that is in the record of Jeremiah. Jeremiah tells us that the temple was burnt down on the 10th of Av. Okay, that's the information we have. That it was burnt down. Which temple? Solomon's temple, the one that Solomon built, was burnt down completely on the 10th of Av, or the 10th of the fifth month. In the scriptures, I didn't see clearly where it said what day that was. What day of the week that was, I did not find that in Jeremiah. However, we can find out the day to Jewish historical records. The Talmud, the Jewish Encyclopedia, and other sources tells us that the ninth of Av, or the ninth of the 15th month, was a Sabbath day. They tell us, those sources tell us, that the Temple of Solomon was burnt down in the afternoon. Not burnt down, was set ablaze, was set on fire in the afternoon, sometime of the afternoon of the ninth of Av, the ninth of the fifth month, and that it burnt down completely on the 10th. They tell us that the ninth of Av was a Sabbath day, the seventh day of the week. So, per the historical records, the Talmud and other Jewish sources, the ninth of Av was a Sabbath day. So that means the 10th of Av, or the 10th of the fifth month, as recorded for us in the book of Jeremiah, was a first day of the week. Now, looking at our calendar, where do we see the 10th of the fifth month is? It is on a first day of the week. That means the luminary calendar correctly represents the historical facts. That looking at our calendar, so if we have the 10th day of the month being on a first day of the week or Sunday, if we count downwards, we will find that the first day of that month was on a sixth day of the week, or a Friday. And that the last day of that month, being 30 days, would have been on a Sabbath, just as we see in our calendar, brethren. So far, we have two biblical sound, indisputable biblical records for the first and second months. That shows us exactly what the second month should be. And these two witnesses or accounts in Genesis and Exodus makes it clear, because the data fits perfectly. And the fifth month, we see a combination of things. We see Jeremiah's record of the temple being completely burnt down on the 10th of the fifth month, or Av. And we see Jewish records stating that the temple began burning on the 9th of Av, which was a Sabbath day, and that the temple was completely burnt down by the 10th. So this information shows us that our construction of the fifth month, of the luminary month, of the Luca, is correct, without a doubt. There's no reason to doubt it. It's correct. Historically and biblically, it's correct. And lastly, we saw the 12th month. Similar situation. We don't have the exact dates for the fifth month, for the 12th month, but we could looking at the 12th month, we see that the first day of the week started. I'm sorry, the first day of the month started on a Sunday, or first day of the week. Let me see, do I have that correct? Yes, first day of the week. That's when it starts. And it ends on and the month actually ends on the second day of the week. But then we have that intercalary day, or the tekufa, or the marking of the season, the end of the winter, marked by 31, as I express it, or some people may just have it as a number one there. One day, that additional day to mark the seasonal change, the end of winter. Okay? So if this calendar is correct, where can we find evidence? We could find evidence of that in two things, in history and in the book of Esther. In the book of Esther, we see in chapter 9 how they were casting pur. That's Haman and his men. They wanted to destroy Israel, the Jews, out of the land, or wherever they were. He wanted to eliminate them. So they started casting lots, or pur, or Purim. When? Not on the 12th month, even though that's when it's celebrated. But from Nisan, from the first of the month all the way to the 12th, they were casting lots to gather money and get their plan set on how they were going to destroy the Jews. However, we read that in verse. I don't have it in front of me. I should have opened my scriptures. But there in chapter 9, from verse 20 to 22, I better let me open the scriptures for a second. Yes, so it's Esther chapter 9. Not reading the whole thing. It says, now on the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, on the 13th day of the same month, look at the calendar too to see where the 13th day is. So the 13th day would be on a sixth day of the week, a Friday, right? The 13th of the same. So when the king's command and edict were to be carried out, what was that? On the very day when the enemies of the Jews hoped to gain the mastery over them. So the reverse occurred. So that's the day that Haman had plotted to attack and destroy the Jews wherever they were. But we're told the reverse happened. So the Jews defended themselves, and cutting through, looking at verse 14, the man commanded this to be done. What was done? Haman was hanged on the gallows. Verse 13 to 14. Let's see. Now, verse 16 of chapter 9 says, now the rest of the Jews who were in the king's provinces also gathered to defend their lives and got relief from their enemies and killed 75,000 of those who hated them, but they laid no hands on the plunder. Verse 17. This was on the 13th day of the month. So that was, according to the luminary calendar we're looking there, we would have been on a Friday. For 13th day of the month of Adar, and on the 14th day, they did what? They rested. Why did they rest on the 14th day? Look at the calendar. What day does the 14th fall on? It's on a Sabbath day. They rested on the Sabbath day. And also on the 15th. But not all did. But the Jews who were in Susa gathered on the 13th day and on the 14th day and rested on the 15th day, making that a day of feasting of gladness. So they rested on the... Let me see. But the Jews who were in Susa gathered on the 13th day and on the 14th day and rested on the 15th day. I'm not sure if this has to do with the locations and things of that nature. But what we can see here are hints. Why would they rest on the 14th? Because it was a Sabbath day. It was a Sabbath day, and often too their enemies, as some historical sources point out, that and enemies who became well acquainted with Jewish practices usually tried to attack them around the Sabbath season, the Sabbath time, because they knew they were at rest at these times normally. So What am I saying in verse 12? Am I saying there's absolute facts so far here for the 12th month of Adar? I'm not going to say there's concrete proof. I believe there is, and it is yet to be found. But I can say here that there is strong evidence that they rested on the 14th day because it was the Sabbath day. That's why. So that's what we saw regarding the calendar itself, why we construct it as is. Now, with this construct, the only way you will have a first month, second month, fifth month, and 12th month with these numbers is what? If all the rest of the months are what they are. If you change the rest of the months in any other way, you will not have the fifth month. You will not have the fifth month with the 10th day of the fifth month being on a Sunday and the 9th of Av being a Sabbath as recorded in history. You won't have that if you change it. The only way you will have this from first month to 12th month as is if everything as shown you in the calendar is correct. So that's why, even though we don't have all the in other evidence for, let's say, the fourth month or the eighth month, we know all the months are correct because of the accurate data we have for the first, second, fifth, and fifth month, at least. These are solid facts. But the 12th is strong evidence for it being correct. Because if it's not correct, guess what? The first month can't be correct. Because the first month is correct. And the only way the first month can be correct is if the intercalary day, that 31st day, what falls on the third day of the week. Look at it. Look at the 12th month. The 12th month ends on that intercalary day after the third month ends on the third day. And that allows for the calendar to begin the following year on the fourth day of the week. So it shows you the calendar is correct. So this is what we covered about the accuracy of the calendar as shown. We also talked a little bit about why the lunar solar calendars don't work, and why the moon or lunar only calendars don't work. From looking at the biblical calendar, as we saw, all the information I reviewed so far was from the Old Testament. But if you recalled, we did cover New Testament information. We looked at the Gospels, all three Gospels, about the time that Messiah was arrested and the time he rose from the dead. When you plot that information, because we know he was seen alive on the first day of the week, he said he would be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. So he began to be in the heart of the earth in the daytime, although he gave up his spirit in the evening. He went to Sheol, to the heart of the earth, literally in the morning, and his last day was a night. Because he says 3 days and three nights. So the following that last night, he has risen, right? So when you count 3 days and three nights from that time, you will see it would have ended, it would have been on a fourth day of the week, that he was crucified on a fourth day of the week, that is a Wednesday, right? What we call a Wednesday. And if you look at the calendar, if you take any first day of the week and count back 3 days, you will see it will be a Wednesday. So that shows you, even in the New Testament, it's accurate. But what that shows you too is that it's cyclical. That the evidence shows that the calendar always looks the same year after year. That the days will always fall on the same date. They don't change. They don't change. So the problem with the lunar calendars is, as you can see, those of us, because I used to observe the whole holy days based on the traditional calendars, where the year can start on any day of the week, right? And Passover can be on any day of the week, right? That's what the traditional Jewish calendars lend to. That a year can start on any day of the week. The annual holy days can fall on any day of the week. And to fix the problem with Yom Kippur, because they don't want Yom Kippur to fall on a Sabbath day, they make adjustments as necessary to the calendar to keep it from ever falling on a Sabbath day. They don't want Yom Kippur, they don't want the Day of Atonement to fall on a Sabbath. And that idea is correct. But having to adjust the calendar really isn't. See, when you look at the calendar, the 10th of the 7th month will always be on a Friday. Always. If you look at the seventh month, scroll down, look at the seventh month, it's always on a Friday. So this calendar, you never need to adjust any days. As long as you start it right, your holy days will always fall on the same day. Could you imagine trying to keep Yom Kippur on the Sabbath day? That can't be, because you're not to fast on the Sabbath day. Except for one Sabbath alone, and that's for a study on another time when Brother Richard resumes the study on the apostolic constitutions. We could look at that. But you never fast on the Sabbath day. And we see evidence of that, I believe, in Nehemiah. For instance, when they were reading the Torah, when Nehemiah was reading the Torah, and the people were so touched in their hearts, they started to cry. But it was a high holy day. That day was designed for rejoicing, not fasting or crying. They were crying with all their hearts. Nehemiah said, no, don't cry for why? This is a holy day. You see, so Elohim gave us the Sabbath day to rejoice. And this is some people, I try to think, you really shouldn't. Look, if anyone wants to fast on the Sabbath day, I'm not going to, you know, say anything. You know, I don't want you to feel bad, but I just want you to know, biblically speaking, it's not the best time to fast. Okay? So that's why the fast days, as a matter of fact, if you look, are on the first of every season, or the beginning of the months for each season. The first month, the fourth month, the seventh month, and the tenth month. And most of you are familiar with Yom Kippur being on the tenth day of the month. And that's why that the tenth day falls on a Friday, and will always fall on a Friday when you use, or the sixth day of the week when you use this calendar. Always. What else can I say here? Oh, so going back to the luminary solar lunar calendars, the days can fall on any day. And biblically speaking, the evidence shows that's not the case. Because we saw from the Old Testament that the 14th day and the 15th day, which is Passover of the first day of unleavened bread on the first month, the month of Aviv, is always on a Wednesday. Always. We saw that. And then when we go to the New Testament, looking at Yeshua's sufferings, we saw that based on the fact that when you count 3 days and three nights and 3 days back, you'll find that Yeshua was crucified on a Wednesday. And it shows you that the calendar looks the same year in and year out. It doesn't change. And also the Jewish record says the second temple, like when Yeshua talked about the destruction of the temple, guess when it was destroyed? It was also destroyed on the ninth of Av. And Josephus talks about this a lot. He tells us that just like the prophecy in Daniel says, that the evening sacrifice would stop because the morning sacrifice happened that Sabbath day, because the temple was destroyed was set on fire on the ninth of Av, which was also a Sabbath day, and burnt down on the 10th of Av, which was the first day of the week. Does it happen on the same days that Solomon's temple, the first temple, was destroyed? And if you pay attention to Jewish solemnities, you will notice that the ninth of Av is a time of fasting and mourning for them because of all the evils, the difficulties that happened to them historically on the ninth of Av and 10th of Av. You could look at that yourself. But the point being, again, it showed you that even when the second temple was destroyed, the ninth of Av was a Sabbath day, just as years before, when Solomon's temple was destroyed, it was the ninth of Av, a Sabbath day. So it shows you the calendar doesn't change. But if we're following the traditional calendar, you will see the ninth of Av can be on any day of the week. But no, it has to be on a Sabbath day. And the tenth of Av must be on the first day of the week. It doesn't change. So that's why you know the lunar solar calendars aren't correct. And also the lunar only calendars aren't correct. Why? Because they have a fixed set of time where the Sabbath must be on the 7th, 14th, 21st, and 28th. Others have it on the more commonly on the 8th, 15th, 22nd, and 29th day of the week. And this happens every month on the lunar only, moon only calendars. The Sabbath will always be, for every single month, will always be on those dates. But we saw in the book of Samuel where David escaped that when you look at when he left 3 days after the month began, he left, and the next account he's at Nob where the priests are, and it was a Sabbath day. We know it was the Sabbath day because the priest had the shewbread, and they only handle the shewbread on the Sabbath day, no other days. They bake it early in the morning and place it on the table for the shewbread. And by the following Sabbath, they eat it. They cook new bread, bake new bread, and eat the old bread. So this happens only on the Sabbath day. So when David came to them and asked, and the priest gave them that bread, that tells you it was the Sabbath day, because you can't eat it on any other day but the Sabbath, right? So that's how you know it was the Sabbath day. And Nob is not far away from where he came from, so it would make sense that the day after, it would have been the Sabbath. Okay? And that date does not match the dates that the lunar or the moon only calendars suggest. It doesn't match. Okay? And they try to show that it matches the Passover account. It doesn't, because they show that Passover was on a Friday. The lunar only calendars show you that Passover is always on a Friday. And yet they believe Messiah was resurrected on the first day, was shown alive on the first day of the week. So they dismiss the whole Messiah's teaching that says he would be in Sheol for three days and three nights. You cannot get 3 days and three nights between Friday afternoon and Sunday. So that's to show you their calendar is off completely. So this is what we covered. This is a summary of what we covered. I'll try to have all of this typed out for you, and I'll post it on the internet as soon as I can, so you can have this information to review for yourself. So for now, just please review the calendar that I showed you. Get acquainted with it. One thing that I can say quickly looking at it is that on the first, we know we have seven annual holy days. We have what's called the Passover, which happens in the first month and second month, but second month only if you miss the first month. It's really on the first month, which is on the 14th of Aviv. And the 14th of Aviv is always on a Tuesday. And then the 15th, which is the first day, or the Feast of Unleavened Bread, is on the 15th. If you remember the children of Israel, when they were leaving, about to leave, their bread was unleavened. Not by anything they did. The Elohim just set it up so it happened that way. Their bread would have been unleavened. But so Passover starts on the 14th. In the daytime of the 14th is what's known at in New Testament time as the Day of Unleavened Bread. Don't get that confused with the first day of unleavened bread, or the Feast of Unleavened. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, or the first day of unleavened bread, is on the 15th of the month, of the first month. But the Day of Unleavened Bread is during the morning time, early morning, afternoon time of the 14th. And at evening of the 14th is the Passover. The Passover is killed between 12 and 3 p.m. aroundish there, the middle of the evening, as the scriptures, between twilight. And by nighttime, it was eaten with bitter herbs and so on. Today, we are not to eat lamb on Passover. And that a lot of people get confused with that and may not even be aware of that. You do that, you're breaking the law, but the biblical law. But we will discuss that in the future when we focus on Passover. So after Passover and the days of unleavened bread, the days of unleavened bread begins on the 15th and ends on the 21st day of the first month, which is a Tuesday. Ends there. And then traditionally, a lot of people observe, then there's the Feast of First Fruits. And all of these feasts you will find in Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23. But I'm saying this to you off the top of my head for lack of time. So in Leviticus 23, we also see after Passover in the days of unleavened bread is what's called Yom HaBikurim, or Feast of the Wave Offering, right? The wave sheaf. A lot of Hebraic and Messianic people, they observe it on the 18th. Some observe it on the 16th. But biblically speaking, it's not within Passover. They keep it within the Passover. It's actually a celebration in of itself after Passover. And it is observed on the 26th day of the first month, according to the scriptural records and historical records. That's when it's observed, not during Passover. And when you understand the Feast of First Fruits, as we look into that in the future too, you will see why it makes sense that it could not be during Passover. So that was the 26th. And of course, if you missed these feasts, well, the Passover feast, you would keep it on the second month. And the second month, Passover, would be on a fifth day of the week. And the first day of unleavened bread, or the Feast of Unleavened Bread, would begin on the 15th, or a Friday, sixth day of the week, and would end on a Thursday. Okay, as you see there in the calendar. Now, skipping down to the seventh month, those are our other sets, the other sets of our high holy days, which are, it begins with what's called Yom Teruah, or the Day of Trumpets, which is the true Rosh Hashanah. Which is traditionally called Rosh Hashanah. But Rosh Hashanah, biblically speaking, is on the first month. But let's not focus on that. So the seventh month, the first day is what's called Yom Teruah, the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Blastings, and so on. It is a Sabbath. It is a rest day. It's a holy day where you assemble. It's a memorial of blowing of trumpets. Then on the 10th day, as I've mentioned before, is Yom HaKippurim, the Day of Atonement. I know you traditionally see Yom Kippur, but biblically speaking, what the scriptures say is Yom HaKippurim, the Day of Atonement, plural. That's on the 10th day, and it's a one day, and we afflict our souls, or fast. And then on the 15th day, that's the next week of the seventh month, there is what's called Sukkot, or booths, the Feast of Booths, which begins on the 15th and ends on the 21st day. 7 days is a 7-day feast. And on the 22nd day of the month, it's what's called Hoshana Rabbah, or the great day of the feast, which is also a day of rest and solemn assembly. And that's pretty much it for the major feast. And the months, as we understand according to the scriptures, is the first of the first month, fourth month, seventh month, and tenth month are times of assembly also. Those are the Rosh Kodesh. That's Rosh Kodesh, the head of the months. Why is it set like? Look at how it's arranged. Spring, summer, autumn, winter. Spring has 3 months. So the head of those 3 months is month 1. Summer has 3 months. The head of those 3 months is month four. Autumn has 3 months. The head of those 3 months is the seventh month. And winter has 3 months. And the head of those 3 months is the 10th month. And this is why when you look at months 3, 6, 9, and 12, they all have an additional day. That additional day is the transition to the next season. All right, brethren? So I stop here. This is our summary. I'll take any comments or questions that you may have now.